It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, welcome to our segment two, and this is where we do our Bible study, as you just heard. So we are ready to open up our Bibles to 1 Samuel with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert. Beth, thanks for joining us.
Hey there, Amy. Well, yesterday we saw Abigail come to David and stop him from committing this sin. And today we're going to pick back up and we're going to see what happens when Abigail goes home. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 25. Verses 36 through 44. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. She told him nothing at all until the morning light. In the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord who has avenged the insult I received at the hand of Nabal, and has kept back his servant from wrongdoing. The Lord has returned the evil of Nabal on his own head." Then David sent and spoke to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they said to her, "David has sent us to you to take you to him as his wife." And she rose and bowed with her face to the ground and said, "Behold, your handmaiden is a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my lord." And Abigail hurried and rose and mounted a donkey, and her 5 young women attended her. She followed the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and both of them became his wives. Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, the son of Laish, who was of Galim. Okay, so Abigail returns home, and she finds her husband having a party. It's festival time, right? It's time to celebrate the sheep shearing. It's a big party, like the feast of a king. He's obviously not missed the food that she snuck away at all, even to throw this big party. I love that the Bible tells us he was very drunk. It sort of makes me laugh. See? There's nothing new under the sun. And God wasn't afraid to talk about it. Abigail, being the intelligent woman she is, assesses the situation and decides to wait until morning to tell what she has done. The most interesting thing to me, though, is that she never considered hiding it from Nabal indefinitely. She took care of the problem, but when she came home, she was ready to tell her husband what she had done. She wasn't going to hide. She was smart and waited until he was in his right mind, whatever that might be for a fool. And who knows how he would have reacted when receiving the news while intoxicated. Chances are she'd have had to repeat herself once he was sober anyway. So she waits until he's sober and then tells him. Now here's God at work. As soon as Nabal heard all these things, his heart failed him and he became like a stone. If you ever heard of anyone having an embolism, well, this kind of sounds like one to me. Not only does Nabal not say or do anything, he can't. And 10 days later, Nabal is dead. God struck him and he died. Now, before anyone gets too carried away here, do not think that God is going to smite your enemies 12 hours after your argument or conflict or whatever. God works in his own time. This happened to be his time. When David hears this, he gives praise to God. David praises God for Nabal's death. He praises God for upholding David's own cause and for keeping David from sin. He recognizes that God kept David from sin, and God allowed Nabal's own wrongdoing to flop right on Nabal's head. Nabal is now dead, and Abigail is a widow. Things were never easy for widows, even when their husbands had been wealthy men. David, however, remembers Abigail. It's only been about 10 days. He remembers how intelligent she was, how she stopped him from sinning. And immediately he sends for her to become his wife to extend his protection over her. He will now protect Abigail and keep her safe. Abigail is rewarded for her actions and her heart. David, as it was expressed in verse 31, he remembered Abigail. Now, a couple of things now that we've actually read the entire chapter. Nabal is characterized as a Saul-like character. Think about it. Saul and Nabal were both wealthy men, able to do what they wanted when they wanted. Yet they both relied on David at some point for his protection of their flocks, Nabal for his actual sheep, and Saul relied on David to protect the people against the Philistines. Yet despite the protection that David provided, they both disdained David. Both had the same haughty spirit and character. Both men looked to their own selfish motives. Both men ignored God. This also foreshadows Saul's end, as we see how God is the one who deals with Nabal here, and he deals decisively with Nabal. So too will we see that God deals with Saul. Nabal's name is Fool and Dog. Yesterday we saw David take that to the extreme conclusion with his comment on not leaving any one male alive in Nabal's house. Remember male translating as one who urinates on a wall, thus a dog? Well, today the phrase used for Nabal becoming sober is literally when the wine had gone out of Nabal. Now, while we don't see this as a pun, it is, because an empty wineskin was an empty Nabal. See it? Nabal, Nabal. Nabal became like a stone, and David used a stone to kill Goliath. Abigail even referenced David's victory over Goliath in her conversation with David from the previous day. So Abigail, who acknowledged God's anointed and cared for him and kept him from sin, is going to share in David's kingdom. Her husband Nabal, however, was a fool, a dead dog, an empty wineskin, a stone flung from a sling. He parallels Saul and all those who reject the Lord's anointed. And finally, Abigail's marriage to David provides him with a trustworthy, intelligent counselor wife, while Saul takes away Michal as David's wife. David has replaced Michal with one even more valuable to him. And this seriously was a trade-up. Remember, Michal was an idol-worshipping, self-focused wife. Abigail? She's a God-fearing, others-focused, sacrificial wife. And one really big thing that you just have to stop and look at today. David is a type of Christ here. This happens all throughout the Old Testament. Those old heroes we know so well foreshadow what will come and happen to Christ, and this is another of those times. David had provided for the well-being of Nabal and his men when they were in the fields. Jesus provided food, literally and spiritually, for the people and provided for their needs and healed them. And what was the result for David? Nabal insulted and mocked him, denied that he was the king, denied even knowing him. And for Jesus? The people denied his deity, denied his kingship, insulted him, mocked and cursed him. Of course, Jesus didn't require an Abigail-type person to prevent him from sinning by destroying all the people who mocked and insulted him. Instead, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death for those very same people. You see why I love this story? I just love this snippet of David's adventures in exile. We learn so much about him, about what he's going through, about his character, and most importantly, about how God provides everything that David needs. Guess what, folks? God provides everything that we need, too. I don't want anyone to come away from this thinking, hey, God will smite my enemies, they're gonna get it, and I can watch and enjoy their suffering. You don't know God's plan. Remember Paul from the New Testament? I can guarantee he had a lot of enemies from his days as Saul. Yet God redeemed him and changed his name. Paul never got what was coming to him because he accepted Christ's grace and love. So don't wish evil on those who persecute you. Pray for them. God's plan may be to redeem them, not to destroy them. Think of all the good that Paul did. Remember how God took care of David and know that he's also taking care of you. And don't worry about what's happening to your enemies. So my question for us all today is this. Do we submit our will to God's will, or do we fight the battle? God's call to David here was simple. Wait. Hold fast. And when Abigail came and rebuked David, he realized that the message was wait and hold fast, and he did. How do you do at obeying that wait command? Do you see how horribly different this would have turned out if David had not listened to wise, godly counsel? Look at how God dealt with all the details. And David didn't sin. He wasn't separated from God because of his sin. God took care of it all. What about you? Are you listening to God's commands today? Are you waiting when you're supposed to wait? Holding fast to the one who's actually in control? Or are you rushing in to achieve what you want right now?
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.